You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm in the Dog Bowl in Berea with you, ladies and gentlemen. And if blood-thinning drug Xarelto has caused you serious bleeding problems, call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Elk and Elk, proud sponsor of the Cleveland Browns. Go Browns! Let's go to the phone lines now. 216-578-0850. That can only mean one thing, folks. Stan from Brooklyn. What's up, Stan?
Hey, you know, I took my sabbatical for a while.
You did? Do you know, Stan, do you know that the song we're playing is called Stan?
That's good. Who's that by?
It's by Eminem.
Really? They're not Polish, are they?
Eminem? I don't know if he's Polish.
I don't know if you can acquire this on 8-track either, though.
Hey, Matt, if I move back into Laurel County, I'm going to pick up one of those nice pieces of property along Robinson Road there. You know where that's at.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Along the river there.
Sure.
And then I can drive my bike over to Larry Country Club and tune up my game. You know?
That would be nice.
There you go.
In shape. But, you know, these drafts, you know, they're a crapshoot. I got a media guide that I refer to all the time. And, you know, if we can hit it on somebody on the offensive line, like what's the gentleman's name there in Avon? Hickerson. We can get somebody like that or get somebody like, how in the heck does Vince Wolfork last as long as he does?
Because when you're a big boy in the middle of the defensive line, you can stay there for a long, long time. And that's what, you know, Danny Shelton is the guy that you would draft to be like a Vince Wolfork. That would be the point of that draft pick.
You know, I passed something along to Jason that you guys are so great on your show, and you're so patient with callers.
Thanks, Stan.
I really appreciate that.
You got it, buddy.
Thank you, man.
You know, and the thing of it is that I wish Cardale Jones well. I think he's got to take advantage of his opportunities, you know. And hopefully he can keep his head on straight.
Yeah, we hope so.
I think you're right. And, you know, somebody pointed out today, you know, how many games Matt Cassel had started in college before he came to the NFL? Zero. So yep. Cardale Jones started three more games than Matt Cassel. Stan, thanks for the call.
Hello.
Stan, yes.
One more thing. I don't think, you know, that, and I know that this is a different area of the country. I was at Foxborough twice. I was there in 9-1-1 in November when we lost, when Tim Couch was there, and I was there one other time. But, you know, when is the last time that a quarterback since the Super Bowl's inception, okay, that they rushed for 14 yards, I believe?
The quarterback?
No, the amount of rushes was 13 carries for 14 yards.
Yep.
And to come back twice from a 14-point deficit, I mean, that's saying something about Tom Brady. And, you know, I love Peyton Manning, but look at how long he played in that dome.
That's right.
Okay? Ideal conditions. I see St. Louis is thinking back to going to an open air now. I read that. Have you heard anything on that? And the other thing is...
All right. I don't know about that. I will tell you one thing I do know. It sounds like Bill Callahan, a name who had been linked to the Browns, a potential offensive coordinator candidate. Bill Callahan will be coming to the Washington Redskins to be their offensive coordinator. Scott Linehan, another name, staying in Dallas. I can't tell you this, though, from the other offensive coordinators that have been listed or remarked here. I did hear that Mark Trestman was here, and things actually went well with him. I heard it was a very positive meeting, so I know they have more to go on this offensive coordinator search, but I heard it was very positive.
Yeah, it seems as time goes on, which we all knew it would be, it's kind of a process of elimination. You know, a laundry list of candidates that the Browns could have been interested in have slowly started to dwindle down on both sides. Maybe the Browns aren't that interested, and they're going to get other jobs. You know, Chan Gailey, you know, was, I believe, linked or hired as the offensive coordinator by the New York Jets. You know, Adam Gase is a name that's out there, was, you know, a part of the coaching search last year when we chose to hire Mike Pettine. He's been linked to Atlanta, but still technically unemployed as well.
A coordinator candidate.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a lot of names out there, and I think that what we have to be sure of as Browns fans is that they're leaving no stone unturned, and they are doing their very best to find the right fit. And over the course of time, I believe they will.
I think they will as well. Let's go to the phone lines, 216-578-0850. George in Chardon. What's up, George?
Hey, guys. I think what's more important than the draft is the Browns hierarchy getting on board with defining a direction in which they want to go to build this team.
I think you're exactly right about that. And I think having an overall strategic vision is absolutely the key.
Exactly. Before they even enter the draft, they have to know what they want to do. They have to have a plan and where they want to go. In my opinion, it's got to be on the offensive side of the ball, on the especially in the skill positions. You know, defense is great. A dominating defense is great. But when you do not have an offense that can answer, and today's NFL is all about offense. Sports, that's the way sports is going. You have to be able to score 24, 28 points a game to win in the NFL today. You cannot do that unless you have skilled players at the skill positions, running back, receivers, quarterback, etc. So I think that's where they need to concentrate. But again, I say that they have to have a plan. And to consider, you mentioned the receiver, I don't remember what his name was, that he would bring a lot of baggage. You know what? I don't want to hear him going down that road.
Think there's any chance they would bring Dorial Green-Beckham in. No chance. I don't think there's any chance. I think you're right. You need to have an overall directive. You got to get rid of the bad apples, and I think that's what they're going to work on trying to do here. I don't think you'll see the Browns draft guys of questionable character. I think that, not to say that Johnny's of questionable character, but I think after they saw in year one of how that experiment went, they're going to be looking for guys where you don't have to worry about their off-the-field antics.
No doubt in my mind, and I think for me personally, if I'm a Browns fan and covering the Browns, what I would want them to do is identify first and foremost, you know, what we're seeking out to bolster our roster. And then I believe, I'm sure we thought we were going to do last year in the first and second round, was this team now, because we struck out on the first round last year and we've got projects out of those first two picks last year, we need to find guys. And I'm sure offensive and defensive line are probably the easiest fits, and also two wide receivers, on who can make the jump fastest and be the biggest contributor for this football team, because we need to accumulate talent, and we need to have that young talent. As we saw in Ohio State, a lot of young talent, a lot of freshmen, sophomores, redshirt sophomores playing and contributing, gaining that experience, and that's a lot of the reason why they're picked preseason number one or preseason number two, and why in a lot of reasons they'll be back in the college football playoff. They have young talent contributing, gaining that experience, and that is something that a lot of guys got this year on a bad football team. Well, let's add more and use that experience to our advantage and add strategically in free agent, or have some of the veterans that we have here stepping their game up and leading this roster.
And speaking of veterans, you can add to your talent pool both through the draft and through free agency. And the NFL, for the first time ever, is doing something new. Ian Rappaport just tweeting this right now. The NFL will host on March 22nd in Arizona the first ever NFL Veteran Combine, according to a memo sent today for veteran free agents.
Not me.
What would you think about that as a veteran? Would you ever go to that?
Well, sure. If the burning desire is still there and you want an ability to showcase.
Well, I think it's just for all free agents. I don't think it's for guys who are retired trying to come back.
There's certain points where, and I don't know for me, when my career started to be one team for one year, one team for the next, try out here, try out there, I'd rather stop and get into something else. Okay, football's with, you know, but there are a lot of guys, and, you know, God bless their hearts, you know, that go for, you know, I've been in the league 3 years, played for seven teams or eight teams, and it's just not for me. But I do believe that it's great because we know, and this is in business in general, but definitely, as you see, a lot of brother-in-law, you know, goes on in the NFL, meaning, you know, if you played for this coach, you follow that coach. And you even look when a coach gets hired or fired, you know, they get fired and all the guys they brought with them get fired. And then he goes and gets a job and they start hiring his buddies as assistants wherever he go. And I think this helps them alleviate. And for those free agents who maybe have been in the league 1, 2, 3, 5, 7 years, whatever it is, allow all 32 teams to evaluate them, because they haven't been evaluated since they originally came out and got drafted out of their school, and if they got drafted or at the combine. So this gives them another look at who they are, what they can do, and fill that role, because I think there's a role for them, because you just can't go young time and time again. You need to gain some experience.
But don't you think, like, with veterans, you've got I mean, you've got tape. You have NFL tape on them. Like, yeah. What do you need to go to a combine for?
Some guys
put
don't
stuff on tape.
Well, but again, it's if, for example, and I'll just name a name. You know, Tank Carter, who meets an amazing need for us as a solid backup, who is a solid special teams contributor. What if a bottom dweller of this league would give him an opportunity if he were to be a free agent and was not, you know, and didn't get signed anywhere, went to this and potentially got thrown into a competition to be a contributor or starter somewhere else, you know, as well. You know, you're going to get a solid backup and you know, you're going to get solid special teams, but what if he just never got a shot and, you know, here in Cleveland or in New York, wherever he's been, to be a starter, but he would simply because he was at that combine.
Yeah, maybe it's possible. Certainly is. All right, let's go right now to Dave in Canton. Dave, welcome to the show.
How you doing today?
How you doing?
Hello?
Yeah, how are you?
Good. Here's my question. You know, you mentioned a few minutes ago that, the Browns' responsibility was to draft guys with high character, and I agree with that. Although, when you look at the players that come out of the draft or college, you know, Chris Carter, for example, didn't have the highest character marks, certainly coming out of Ohio State, and then ended up being an ESPN commentator with,
Hall of Famer?
It took him a while, though. He had to leave.
He had to leave
and get kind of thrown out of the league to get his life in order.
Yeah,
well,
that slap in the face wake-up call.
But then the current news about the Indianapolis player that is suspected or accused of a rape charge, you know, here's a West Point grad, you don't get any better credentials than being a West Point grad, you know. So coming out of college, who's not going to think this guy's high character? Not proven that he isn't. Let's make that remark. But the whole idea of a West Point grad, I mean, that's the highest character you can get, practically. Yeah, you know,
I think you're absolutely right about that. All right, appreciate the call. We're going to take a break. When we come back, the president of the Cleveland Browns, Alex Shiner, live in studio. That is Must Listen Radio. We're going to talk phase two of the FirstEnergy Stadium renovations. We'll get into some other stuff, I'm sure, as well when we come back here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. I can show you what you want.